hiding in the corner.
Wow.
So do we have a plan?
Yeah, good evening.
Actually, you know what?
Oh no, it was Kippany.
Yep, they're thanking me for cookies. Reliving my childhood. Yeah, actually, I think it's wrong. Here, I'm going to log into the different one. Tyann redid it and supposedly updated, but she didn't update it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not correct. Oh, I'm very frustrated. We're going to hear about it.
Oh, yeah, we're going to hear about it.
Yeah, because Tyann created a new system. No, you can. So if I didn't end it,
it's your name on your
app. Who? Okay, Chuck, you give me a cookie, please.
I'll get a couple more.
I just want one.
Sounds very exciting.
I can't believe it.
I'm good.
So this is what I said to my children today. This is an informative message. Please read it and reach out to your dad later. Texting me, calling me, I'm like, you guys do not follow the directions.
Oh, no, I'm good.
I said, I am good. Really good.
I mean, super clear.
Oh, no, I'm good. Thanks, though. Call to order, 6 o'clock.
I know, hold on. So we'll call to order in just a second. We had today a member reach out to the office regarding Zoom access. The office has issued a secondary Zoom link, so I think we actually have a split room right now, and I can't watch both. So that's the first time we've had that. So it was out of helpfulness, but it's not helpful. So I want to make sure that that member has an opportunity because they are a non-resident member to speak. And so give me just a couple more minutes before we call to order, please. All right.
Thank you, everyone, for coming. Did you all sign in? Kippany brought the
cookies.
Thank you.
Kippany
brought them.
Which one?
You can get them at Safeway. You can get them at Costco. You can get them at Walmart.
7 5 4 1 9 1 6.
There you go. I'm going to try that. And then I couldn't find the ground. I pulled it out.
I know.
Taste it after I mix it all together. It was good. Not as good as my grandma, but it was good. Are you throwing stuff at me?
Not yet.
I'm planning for next year putting another coat on those road stops and stuff. So I'm thinking if we could start in June and start at the back.
In May,
you think it'll be warm enough?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Okay. But yeah, I figured if we talked about it tonight, maybe we could get that on our list. And my date over here, you know, We'll be out riding our brooms. We had way too much fun. We entertained the neighborhood.
So I guess we're as connected, and it's working over there now. We're trying to work. So you and I are on. Let's get this guy on. There we go.
You're up.
So I'm unsure if we'll get that person. All right. We're going to be as connected as we can. Let me test this. Nope, not advancing. 2 minutes. We'll see. I think we're going to miss out on somebody who's not here. I did catch that, and I did call it out to the office, but didn't get followed. All right, so here we are, 6:05, the first meeting I've ever started late. Nice to see everyone. Let's go ahead and, Dave, will you lead us in Flex Loop?
Do that.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Just like we start every meeting for the last board year, I want to remind us that when we have conversations, fun and challenging, we're going to all agree on our common goals here. Our vision is to create a vibrant and inclusive community where safety, community involvement, financial security, and health are paramount. I'll skip our mission and values, but they are something that we embrace all the time. I think everybody has, and I really appreciate the way in which this board has embraced these values. There are conversations, both public and in executive session, or as we're working through challenges day to day, where we'll call back to some of these things, and it's been a really fantastic conversation with everybody. So thank you for that. Our agenda is standard. I put out in the agenda some of the key points that the board members sent in under their section. I didn't put it here because it was teeny tiny text, but they are within our slides, so this will keep us aligned as we move forward. The first section here is member comments. I don't unfortunately see the member that was going to join virtually. I will follow up with that immediately tomorrow, but then opening the floor with a couple of ground rules. Try to keep it to 3 minutes. Be respectful. We're all neighbors and friends here. And who would like to start? Michael.
Yes. Well, I'm kind of on a fact-finding mission. I submitted a complaint back in July, and the only stipulation I had was that I hoped that I'd be kept informed during the process. And I haven't heard back from anyone. Anybody, for the most part. I followed up on that in October and still didn't get a response back. And until just recently, I was a little more persistent and found out that I was told that Vantage is now handling the compliance, which I assume involves all of the complaints. Is that correct? So that's news to me. So I don't know if that's because I haven't been to the last couple board meetings. I don't know if that's something that's coming out in newsletters. That sounds like a major change to the rules and regulations, correct?
I think it's in the execution of our rules and regulations, so it's not a change to the rules and regulations themselves. Vantage's contract, when it was entered in 2023, did have a compliance service, and it, as this community transitioned from an in-house community manager throughout 2023 to 2024, one of the work that the last board did was some big deep dives into the compliance process. It yielded a process that was unwieldy for community management and needed, and so we attempted it, and poorly. To your end and to your point, being able to keep up with everything and track it and maintain the, all of the follow-up to meet the rules and regulations, especially some of the 10 days timeline, etc. And so we worked with Vantage to begin to offload that and ramp them into that process. And I think we are having way more success with Vantage managing that. I do think that the transition is going to be, of course, the communication transition can always be better. It's always challenging. I want to double click on your question. Does this include all compliance matters? Because I initially answered yes, but I know that you have also engaged regarding some of the architecture stuff that is under the purview of our architecture committee, mm-hmm. and that would not go to Vantage. So I want to make that clarification.
Sure. Yeah, that was in that.
Okay.
Yeah. How long has that been in place for to go to Vantage? Like I say, if I've waited 6 months to hear back some results on my complaint, when did that happen?
So November, I believe, and I can pull up the announcement. We did socialize it in the same way that we socialize a lot of things, which is the newsletter. And I know that is light reading potentially for you, and I understand that we can talk about different announcements of that. I also thought I did respond to you, so I want to. Okay.
Well, I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again, but
Yeah, and there's a million things going on too, so I could also have missed it. But if you want to stick around in the time between the end of this meeting and executive session.
Yeah, and I don't want to occupy too much time here, but I definitely want to find out where I'm at in the process.
And because it is with a specific neighbor, right? Mm-hmm. Some of the information is protected personal information. I can't give you all of it, so I know that we are balancing that.
And I'm not asking for private information. I don't want anybody's social security numbers or. But I'm pretty sure that I should be entitled to knowing what actions have been taken, has taken place. Is that a fair statement? Whether or not a fine's been imposed, and what was the result of that, and are we on fine 200 and fine 300?
Absolutely. And I thought, again, that I thought I had shared some of that. So I have some of that. But I also cannot tell you a person's private financial situation. And I think,
oh, no, I'm not asking for that.
But it does dovetail there. So that is one of the reasons. So happy to take this offline, and we can chat about where that is specifically at. But I won't share if somebody has not paid a fine, or if they're on fine 3, or if they're going to collections. Like, that's not the type of stuff that I can share. So I can give you some of the actions that we've done, but I can't follow up.
Okay, then maybe the better question is, then how do I know as a member what is being, sitting back going, I don't know if you're doing anything.
I understand.
But how would I know that? And that's a bad feeling.
Sure.
To sit back and wonder, is anybody really taking my complaints serious? And how do I measure that?
Yeah.
You can't manage what you can't measure. I'm just.
Yep. Yeah. I don't have the best answer to that because I think we have to index off of protecting the association by not providing information that we know we can't provide. And so then to answer your question, well, then how do I stay informed? I don't have a good solution for that right now, but I'm open to recommendations. I've worked with Vantage around what is the best way to communicate. How are other associations communicating effectively? I don't think we've nailed it down 100% yet.
But what I've ended up with is more questions than I've got answers to. And what I mean by that is that now that we're going to Vantage, see, what I guess what I would have expected was that it's now gone to Vantage. Here's what you, here's your steps of moving forward with Vantage. Your file, you know, does Vantage have my file? Does Vantage, you know, if, do I speak with anybody in particular? You know, I just some sort of a step-by-step process. Just not, hey, we're putting our hands up and we're not doing it anymore. Vantage. And that's what I got. And I think we deserve more than that.
Thank you. Yep. I can surface some of the communications with the step-by-step guidance that was provided. And I know that that's not your specific case, and that is the disconnect, as I understand it. So happy, like I said, again, we can touch base offline, but I appreciate the comments.
Okay. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Who's next? No one? Okay. I feel like when you come because you want to say something. We miss you when you're not here. So what's happening tonight is our bandwidth is going in and out, probably because we have video going on, and that is causing our Zoom to come up, which is causing this. So I'm actually going to pull this off because we have nobody here. Very good. And we're back. Easy, right? Sure, you can. All right. I also was noodling on this idea. Well, actually, we'll go. I was noodling on this idea, and Michael, I think this might be helpful for you. Some of the articles that we have published in the newsletter, which I will be referencing shortly, but there's some hopefully helpful articles in here. And then we get this paper, and then we, you know, maybe file it away. I was thinking that we'd archive the articles online. Anybody? Because then you can go back and you could search for compliance, and then you could see the compliance process that we wrote up, you know, and shared. And you could say, oh, something changed with the dog park. I'm going to go do the dog, you know, look that up or something. That's a thought I had. That might be helpful.
I think that's a good
one. Okay, cool. Thank you. we're going to be here. I think we have to. Nobody's on Zoom. I think I'm going to stop the Zoom call. Is everyone okay with that?
Yes.
I'm sorry. This is the first time. I'm going to end the Zoom call, so thank you for trying. We'll get that dialed in before.
Again, thanks for your time, and I'll look forward to hearing from you. Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thanks.
You guys want to hear about my day this week?
Mm-hmm. While you're setting everything up?
Yes. All right, has everybody seen our last month's board minutes? Mike, did those get out in email?
Yeah, and copies were at the workshop.
Copies were at the workshop, that's right. And then, yes, that's right. Anybody have any changes?
I make a motion that we approve last month's meeting minutes as written.
I second.
I heard this second first.
Oh, darn.
All in favor?
I'll be faster next time.
Okay, thank you. All right. Did it move?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I'm going fantastic.
I have a motion. I'm motioning that we excuse Barb Quick tonight because of family issues.
Thank you. I have a motion on the floor. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Passed.
Thank you so much for that. Now would you like to treasurer's report?
So I'm having a little trouble with my eyes this evening. I'm going to ask everybody to refer to the slide.
It's not on the slide.
Oh, it's not on the slide. Okay, be patient.
I can read it for you.
No, I'll do it. December bank balances, general checking, $186,767. The events group, which is held separately from the other stuff, but it's in here, is $2,770. Unrestricted capital fund is $281,983. Timberland Bank CDs is $267.99 for a total of 1,071,96. Sorry, I'm really struggling. I apologize. Accounts receivable 30 days aging is at $35,469. 60 day aging is at $49,629. 90 day aging is at $133,46. Collection results, the board has 28 accounts with their collection attorney, $73,628.81 has been submitted for collection, $16,222.39 has been collected by the attorney. We had no expenses covered by the unrestricted capital reserve. Financial project summary, timeline, and planning for budget workshops in progress.
Bids
on reserve study consultants in process. And we are doing we're analyzing collection processes and attorney options.
There you go. Thank you. To power through.
I'm afraid it wasn't reading it right.
All right. What do we got? There's the committee reports coming up. First off, me. The first thing is what we're not going to talk about today, and that's the lawsuit conversation. I know that we've been having really good lawsuit conversations, but that is why I also printed off the newsletter that we've written for February. We have a full recap of that conversation, fully written, including questions that were asked and answered. So I'm not planning to spend time on this. You will continue to see this as available, right? Things move at the speed of someone else. So at the end of the day, this is one of the ways in which we will continue to communicate. So you actually see in this newsletter, moving on to the second point, you actually see in this newsletter two recaps from meetings that occurred this last month. So I wanted to thank Sandy for writing up a meeting recap. We stuck that in the newsletter, so if you couldn't attend the kayak meeting, that was specifically associated with the kayak updates that we are working through. That update from that meeting is in here too, and I think that this is something that we want to continue to do going forward. So any volunteers everyone's a volunteer, trustees with your meeting write-ups, we also have those committee minutes are being reported more and more, and we did just approve like three committees meeting minutes in that last minute approval from December, so we're getting even better at capturing all of that information that does go online, and so hoping that information is where I'd like to direct you. The third thing is I'm moving to D.C. I was given an opportunity, first I'll say it's a weird position to share my personal life with so many people. I was offered a position in Washington, D.C. to continue some of the work that I've done. I think you might know that I am in trade compliance, and it is a specifically interesting time for global trade compliance. The organization I work for just needs some more manpower in D.C. And so they've offered to relocate myself and my boyfriend to D.C., and so we will be doing that. Coming up in March. And I think a few things. No, I'm not going to sell the house, but I am looking for a renter. So if you know anybody who wants to rent in the community, I'd love that. And then the board has known about this, and I think it's trickled out for several months now. It's one of those things that we've been talking about. What does that mean? Like, what are the opportunities or to stay connected? What does that actually look like? Does that work for us? And we're still having that conversation. We've just now, finalized dates. This will probably be the end of March, beginning of April. I still don't have all the contracts in place. But I have made the decision that I'll still be an owner. So there is opportunity to continue to work with the association. Roles will look different, right? I can't do exactly what I'm doing tonight because I won't be physically here, right? So roles will be different. We're still working on what that looks like. We have 2 months to figure that out. I think at the end of the day, I ran for the board not because I wanted to do this. Here I am. But I think I ran for the board just because I think that I could be helpful. I hope that I have been.
Oh, yeah.
And I think there's still ways in which to be helpful. So we'll identify what those are, and I'll help that way. And we'll figure that out. But in terms of, is there an open board position? No, there's not right now. There's several successful examples of boards that have non-resident owners on the board. I think last week I was in a different state and was attending Zoom meetings. And so we just have to, strengthen that muscle together in terms of governance. And then we'll see what happens. But we'll navigate that. My intention, if I were to transition out, would be to make it all the way to the annual meeting, at least. So hopefully to do that. So can I answer any questions about that?
Hopefully you'll be on Zoom a lot.
Fern.
Just want to let you know that you will be a member as long as you own a home in this community.
Yeah. And like I said, I don't think the mission changes, right? Or like, no. My personal motivation is only to help, truly. And I think I can do that somehow. So.
If you can't, you will truly be missed. That's for sure.
Yes, we appreciate you.
Thanks. All right. That's it. Architecture.
Hello.
He was sleeping.
No, I'm not. we finally established a time for our monthly meetings. It's going to be the first Friday at 10 o'clock for our architectural meetings. We have, we went through our list. We cut 5 or 6 projects out. There's a septic tank going on Steamboat Island Road. So if you see what's going on, that's part of the testing process, getting that taken care of. And one of the things that we discussed a month and a half ago was how our architectural board, with our landscaping and the way the climate is, how we're going to deal with climate change. How houses are built, how landscaping is being done. So we're just open the door to that. And if there's people that want to come to the meeting and sit down and talk about it, we can go forward. But it's something we need to address. Everybody got to wake up. And that's what we have right there. We have one fence project we have to okay on next Friday, and that's all we have on the board for us.
Perfect. Marina. That's fine, take your time.
Dave, you are not polite.
That was awesome. Good job, Dave.
The second Wednesday of every month I meet for my random meeting, 6 o'clock. On my last meeting, we talked about signs and got together with an individual, sat down with him. I showed him what I wanted made. We're in the process of talking with the insurance company. And we're also working on a maintenance report monthly on the marina. We'll walk the docks, take a look at it, see what things need to be done. But most of all, right now, I need to work with the insurance company and Foss Marine Floats and find out when they're going to come in and get this project done. We've got many things going on. We've got things with for sea lions and try to deter them from never coming back here again.
Chuck, quick question, Chuck. The inspection report, I know that it is in draft, and I was at Bob has it, and I've asked him to redline it, change what he needs me to change.
Okay.
Do you any idea when I can get that back?
And just talk to him about it tonight.
Okay.
You'll have it soon.
Okay, perfect. And then on the insurance claim, it is a business item later, but we are in conversation with the insurance.
So anybody that has any pictures of the sea lions on our docks and how they pretty much crushed us, can you get those pictures in? I need to get them to the insurance company. I don't have too many pictures of the B dock, you know, but we had 81 of them out here one morning. I was like, holy smokes. And at 2,000 pounds or 1,500 pounds, whatever they weighed, the way our docks are built, they're through bolted from our fingers, and these big animals are getting on them and busting the whole main dock,
the frame
of the main dock. And that's where our big problem is. And then I am working on a hinging system for our marina. I want to get those lights up, down off the top of the pilings. There's a lot of stuff going on. So DNR's involved in it. We're working closely, or Tiffany has worked closely with DNR to make sure that everything's in line again. And for those that don't know, we lost our 50 years of being grandfathered in. Is that all I talked about? That we moved to 2024 to all the agreements that DNR want, their new regulations. So that's going to be an issue for us that we have to look forward to.
Down the road.
A lot of things went on. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Me.
Parks.
Okay, we've got a few things to talk about. Most people are concerned about the kayak reorganization at our meeting on the 16th.
19th.
We discussed it, got a lot of good ideas, a lot of thoughtful comments that need to be considered. And so what we've decided to do is we're going to move forward with having everything out on the 20th. We'll have the repairs, the maintenance, the landscaping underneath the
boats,
bays that we have right now. And every vessel will then go back to its original spot. We're not going to make any changes on that right now. Diana and I are going to be emailing out a survey to each lessee that has a bay and asking if they have any special needs because of the vessel itself, or they're incapacitated in some way, or they can't lift over their head, things that we discussed down there. And then in September, after summer's over, we will come up with a formulated plan based on what we've heard and some suggestions from our board members. And we'll speak about it at the September 11th Parks and Rec meeting. So we want to be equitable and fair to everybody, but we also have to do this. So that's number one. I've been in touch with vendors trying to get these fruit trees pruned and the two cherries here. We had one bid come in at $24.69, and that's to prune the existing fruit trees and the two cherries tree, the flowering cherries. But I was advised that the fruit trees are danger trees now. He showed me how you can stick your hand almost all the way through on one of the cherry trees or the apple trees down there, and several of them are split from lack of water, lack of care, whatever. And he personally recommends that we remove them because it would put us in liability if anybody fell off a limb, etc. Had another bid, and he didn't even want to bid on the four trees being removed because he doesn't do that kind of work, but he would prune the two cherry trees for $800. I was trying to remember that. I didn't bring the bid. because I'm still getting them. And then another one came in at $1,200 to remove the four fruit trees. There's one that might be able to be saved, but I don't know. That we'll have to look at again. And if we go that route and do cut the trees down due to it being danger trees, then we, of course, will replant. But we want everybody's opinion as to what we should replant, and do we want to replant them in the same places that the existing fruit trees are. So give that a thought. We'll discuss that as soon as I get, because I've got three more bids coming. So at the next meeting, we'll have more information. And I'll have the copies of bids available. The other thing is, let's see, what was it? The swing set needs to be painted, so we're looking for volunteers. Julius kindly offered to help. I don't know what kind of ladders we'd need, if that would put us in liability anyway with us painting them, but we will have to have the, of course, marine paint, and we do want to do that. So that's on the books to be done. And that's all I have for now. Any questions?
I've been offered the use of a cup sprayer, that we could do the swing set with, which would make it so we didn't have to have a bunch of people out there on ladders. We would just need some help with the hoses.
Oh,
and Melissa,
marine enamel paint.
Yes, and Melissa's offered to donate her time to help me do that.
Okay.
So if Julia and I and Melissa and maybe one other volunteer when we're ready to do it, we could get it done.
Well, probably more summertime, wouldn't
it? Yeah, it would be summertime. We want
sounds
good
like
weather.
Something to figure out off on.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Anything else?
No. Not for me. Questions, anybody?
Who's next? Rhodes.
Dave.
Got a whole list for you.
Yep. We bought a bunch of cones and signage for the crews that we put out to let us know that we're working instead of just being out there just doing their thing. We've got coats for these guys, so they're all illuminated. They can do what they're doing. And we're still having problems with people flying by at a high rate of speed. And it's not safe for the crew out there. So I'm proposing that we get a couple of GoPro cameras to mount on the trucks while they're working with the cones and everything, and we can track the people that are putting our guys in jeopardy. And it's getting worse instead of better.
Yeah.
And safety is the best thing. We've implemented a lot of plans in the shop. I'm down there three times a week working with safety with these guys and teaching them how to do stuff. And they're only as good as the people that are out there. And they're trying to do their best. And we're going to start putting up some more speed bumps. Everybody doesn't like it, but you know what? If you don't slow down, we're going to put the speed bumps up. And that's going to slow you down. And we don't want to get anybody hurt out here. And that's my safety is for the crews. On the docks, in the park, whatever. We're going to make sure, we're trying to do everything we can, but people just don't understand. And it's quite irritating for me. There's a issue with the house on, it's halfway on Island Drive and 2130 Sand Dollar. It's the end of the sewage treatment plant road. He has a failure on his slope. We noticed it a week and a half ago. So we went down there and we put all our erosion control measures over, took some pictures, called the guy. He lives in Canada. And he finally got a hold of a soils engineer. I met him today. Told him that, this needs to be taken care of. It's a slide. And it's in the spillway for the creek going off of Island Drive or Overlook down through there. So he's aware of it now, and we're monitoring it every day. We go down there. It hasn't moved since we found out. And so he has a soils engineer company from Olympia taking a look at it today. And there, all the issues are going to him, and they're supposed to be taking care of that. And this has to go with kind of the water and the wastewater. We compiled a list of all the pump outs that are unsafe for our guys that are too far inside the property line where they're crawling under trees. There's 13 of them, and we're going to send a letter out to them to tell them they need to upgrade their access for us. We're taking over all the walkways for the guys to get to the pumps. We've bought all the materials. We're setting everything up for they can. We're going to take care of the ones that are bad, but the people that are too far away, these guys are out here. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. It's dark. They can't see where they're going, and it's time to get them fixed. So it's all about safety. And I think we're working on a maintenance plan for like trimming trees. There are two, you know, there's basketball hoops that are in the middle of the right or on the edge of the road, which affects the drivers and the school buses and all the deliveries. And so another list we're going to compile. You got to keep your basketball hoops and bikes and out of the way. And the biggest deal is people don't slow down here. And it's getting to the point where it's not safe. It's ridiculous whatever people are doing. So I would like to get a couple cameras we can put on the front of the back of the trucks or whatever, not on the guys, just have them mounted so we can find out, so we can show the people what's going on, and we need to slow down. And on top of that, it's the walkers, the dog walkers, the kids, it's everybody. The UPS guys, the FedEx guys, they all fly down here like they're on a freeway mission, and we got to stop it. It's not safe. And we're putting up more speed bumps in the next 2 or 3 weeks. You'll be seeing speed bumps going up. We're not going to tell you where they're at, but we're going to let you know where you're going to identify them so you'll slow down. And if you don't slow down, we're going to put some more up. There's no way to control it, and it's not safe for the whole neighborhood. So that's my spiel, and I'm done with that.
Dave, I had a member ask about, because they love something that's happening. I know it's on Whitecap. I'm using your street. The other morning, our truck's Thursday, garbage truck day. Lots of garbage cans out in the street, the bus, the trucks. A lot of those people have put up on their own garbage can holders that are off the road.
Over the swales.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that allowable, and could we ask neighbors to do that to make it easier on those narrow streets?
Yeah, is that allowable?
That's what I'm asking. I was asked.
Well, if it's legal for us to crawl across it to suck the crap out of the septic tank, it should be legal to put your garbage cans out there.
Okay, all right.
That's what I'm saying. We want to keep the right of way open. It's a 20-foot wide road all the way around here.
I think any type of approval right now to engineer anything over our bioswells needs to be on hold for a bit. However, I do think it's a very interesting idea.
No, it's.
And there, I happen to
there's
go
a lot of spots where they don't.
No
there's
clue.
A lot of spots where people don't have the option other to put down 2x4s and plywood.
Yeah.
And we're fine with that as long as it's safe.
Okay. Well,
and does it impede the bioswale?
Right. Yes. So this was a question brought up because when Whitecap is very narrow, and there was like I don't know how they didn't hit because I was behind them and I was just thinking I'm going to back up, but we had garbage cans. That could have been in tighter, but they weren't. They were, like, out. And then they just wanted to know if that could be done on the narrow streets. And I said I would ask.
I think that we, again, need to hold on approval from the board to do something like that.
No, that's for Dave to have research.
Sure, okay. Again, we're going to hold on that research. I'm telling you right now. Until we have any allegations of bioswale, anything taken care of. That's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
All right. However, I think it's an appropriate question and good idea. Water and wastewater.
So water and wastewater update on the source approval. We're still moving at a snail's pace, but we're still moving. We were sent out on, I think it was December 10th, 8 items that we needed to do to get source approval. Only one was up to us is Carlisle Beach Homeowners Association. The other 7 involve Northwest Water Services, our systems, and also Mike Brewer. And so most of that has already been taken care of. We're still waiting on something from Mike Brewer. I just contacted him again today to see where he is on taking care of that part. As far as CBHA goes, we need to do something with our sanitary control area. But the two things that they've asked us to do are really pretty simple. One is that we had to move one of the porta potties at least 100 feet beyond where the wellhead is. We've already done that. It's 103 feet right now. The other thing that they wanted us to do was to move the garbage bins that are out there. And so we're gonna work with LeMay and have those move. We have two potential sites. We haven't really decided which one we want to do yet. One is up at the where the water tower is, and the other one was just brought up last week. Is that we Carlisle Beach owns a piece of property right across from the wastewater treatment plant. I think it's what's the address on that. I didn't write it down. But it's a piece of property that's real close there, and we could potentially put a portable shower station and porta potty up there. But we have to do some work up there to get it flattened out and take care of that. So those are the two potential areas we could do that. We could move the dumpsters potentially up to the water tower, or we could put them right where the turnaround is at the wastewater treatment plant, and then we'd make sure that we have those chained down so people could get in there. So those are the things that we're looking at. Those are really the only things that we need to do, and we can get that done. We just need to decide where. So once that is completed and everything's ready to go to submit, when I talked to Chip, or was in communication with Chip last week, he indicated that it could be potentially 3 to 4 months once the submittal's put in. And that's what Cece said, too. The hardest thing is once you have these things ready to go, there's a queue in there, and where we are in the queue, that determines how long it's going to take. But it's the submittal is real close. We need to, the main thing is we need to get it into next year. We're going to have to be on time a lot right now. And then what goes along with that would be the water system plan. Northwest Water Systems continues to work on that. They've been working on it all along. Chip couldn't really give me any information because it's dependent on the source approval, how long that would take. But once we get that in there, then they'll put the rest of that together, and that would be submitted too. Part of that water system plan is the meeting that we're going to have on February 11th has to do with water use efficiency. As a community, we need to have a meeting. We gave a 2-week notice on it. During that meeting, we need to come up with 4 goals that we can set as a community to measure our water use efficiency. And because we're a bigger system now, that has to be part of the water system plan. Kip and I are going to work on that tomorrow night. We have that ready to go. As a community, we'll lay out some of the goals that we think would be good goals. We need to come up with 4. And then once we've looked at the community's ideas, the ideas that we have, then we need to ratify that within 2 weeks. We need to have that all together by the end of February. That'll get us just a little bit closer. What else do I have on here?
Update on meter installation.
So that's potentially we put in 7 new meters, so we still have like about 14 or 15 to go. Our idea right now, and that's going to be part of our water use efficiency plan, is in order to really have a good reading on water use efficiency, we need to have the meters in. We need to be reading the meters. We've been looking at this for a while. We're not exactly sure what that's going to look like. But one of the proposals at our last water committee meeting was that we begin that process, that we start reading the meters, getting an idea of what that would look like, and do, I wouldn't call it a test run, just collecting data. And that could take, to get decent data, it would probably take us at least a couple of quarters to do that, to see how the system works, because we don't want to start a system that gets us all bogged down. We just want to run it for a while, get that data, and then decide what to do at that point. But that's going to be part of the water use efficiency plan, too. But we're so close to having all the meters in, we just need to get started on that. And hopefully we'll start at that this summer, have the data by the next winter, and then we'll go from there. That's it. Any questions?
Yeah. Question. You said that 7 meters have been, new meters have been put in,
mm-hmm.
and you still have 14 to 15. What's the holdup? Because I've heard that the meters were going to go in like a long time ago. What's the holdup, and what's the cutoff date for those to be done?
We're going to continue working on. Part of the problem is that some of those meters are in the bioswell that's between Whitecap and
Steamboat
Road, and they haven't been able to find them. They're there somewhere, but they don't know exactly where they are, and the weather has to be right to be able to find that. And I think there's about 5 or 6 that are in that area, so we haven't been able to get to those. The 7 that were just put in were ones that we were looking for. That was taken care of. They're in. There's still some other ones that have not been found. We've looked at a number of different ways of trying to get them located. Dave and myself and the maintenance crew have been looking for some of those. But we're working on discovering them. But I think what's going to wind up happening, this is what we're thinking about, so I don't know for sure. But I think we're just going to start collecting data, start reading the meters, look at how the systems could work out. We have to integrate it with Vantage so that we can get that information out to all of the homeowners, and then we'll decide what that rate schedule is going to look like. That's the next step, the next big step, I think, of the water plant. And any other questions? I know this is taking like forever, and the hope was when the well went in that all those meters were going to be installed at the same time, but they're, because of the clay soil and some of the locations, just haven't been able to find those things.
So if you can't find them, what's the solution?
We will find them. I mean, eventually we'll find them. There is a company that I've contacted that is up in Puyallup that will do location, and they were kind of describing what the system is. We have to shut down parts of the system to be able to find those meters. And if worst comes to worst, that's what we'll wind up doing. But we don't want to be charging anybody for water that they're not using, and at the same time we want to make sure that it's fair across the board. But if you look at, we have 547 I think right now, and if we're only missing about 15 of those, that's a very small percentage. It's like 2%.
Well, again, I would come back and say, when's the cutoff to going out to this company? Like, how much time are you going to give your team to find it before you bring in an intervention? And if it's slowing up the process for, I understand you're going to gather data. Don't have to answer that. It's just frustration.
Go ahead.
I think it's a question of prioritization, right? So to the extent, what's happening is the location challenges, right? But we're also in this place where we have to have the water system approval. We have to have the well up and running. And so while we're still working through that, because those would precurse our ability to truly use the metered water, so we are able to, dig in where we can and utilize our own resources. But the forcing function will end up being after we're fully approved and need to move into the metering, and that we'll have a working backwards. We've actually been talking about mapping out what the metered reality truly looks like,
mm-hmm.
from an operational perspective,
mm-hmm.
Recently, and we have to get another meeting on the schedule for to start to look at that. But that'll also be embedded in there, right, with the forcing function, say no longer than if we truly can't locate. Those are pretty expensive third parties, though. So,
honestly, part of that's on me, because as Tiffany was saying, the main focus has been getting the source approval, getting the well approved, getting the water system plan in place, and being able to utilize what we have. And I kind of put that off to one side, and I've been reading through all these documents in the last couple of weeks, like, oh my gosh, we need to get this part going too. So we know that needs to be done. I think once we start putting that together and seeing what that program is going to look like, how we're going to monitor it, and make sure that we do it well before we actually implement it, we're going to get there.
Thank you.
I have a question. Uh-huh. I don't know who I would talk to about, but the water, when it runs off the street, goes down and floods out our water meter. and fills it all full of water, who would I, what do I need to do?
Well, if people that are having that issue, if you could let us know what that issue is, because I think that's going to happen in a few other places, because we live in a very nice little clay area that water just does not percolate into the soil. We're going to have to come up with a way to be able to read those meters even when there's water in there, and there's a way to do that. But so if you could let us know that you're having one of those issues, and anybody else that has that issue, let us know so we can be looking for those spots and how we're going to read those meters.
Okay.
It's only a problem 6 months out of the year.
Yeah. Right.
But please let us know, because that'll make that go quicker. And we also have to look at, you know, how long it's going to take to read those meters, et cetera, et cetera. So we do not have digital meters, it's all manual.
All right. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, I just, Richard, wanted to follow up real quick on the water and wastewater report. So help me understand, our new well is still not in compliance and we are still not able to use water from that source. Is that correct?
That is correct. It has not, the source approval, it has not been approved.
Can you estimate how long it will be until we can get water from that well?
Well, that's what I was in communication with Chip about this last week, is that we've done our part, they've done most of their part. As soon as that gets submitted, he was saying it would probably be 3 to 4 months before we get approval. And I know it's been 3 to 4 months, but we thought we would be done 2 summers ago, but we're not. And there's some extenuated circumstances that we've talked about, but there's been mistakes that were made too. And we've been trying to rectify those mistakes. But once we get the source approval, and I think we're really close to that one, and they submit that, then we can get approved. But part of that approval process is, like, I'm going to get on my hands and knees and beg DOH, because we've been working on it for so long. Can you move us up in the queue just a little tiny bit, because we've been doing this for so long, so we can get this done? I'm not sure if that's how they do it. I think they just take it first come, first serve. And it does take a while for it to go through all that. But I'm going to be working on Mike Brewer here for the next week.
So the answer is you really don't have a good timeline.
I don't. He wouldn't give us a timeline on the water system plan, because that's dependent on the source approval. There's no timeline on that until he has all the information to submit, and we're waiting on one piece of information.
Just another question about the process used to put that well in that position in the spot where it ended up being broke. Do you understand that decision-making process and why that well was put in the wrong location?
Well, it's actually the best location. So the problem, I believe it's the best location.
Well, we can't use the water from it, so it's obviously not the best location. No,
I want to balance litigating the past with that. So I think the answer is, do we have an idea of why that decision was made? We do understand why the decision was made. It was made on, you know, good faith, on the best information that was available. And I do think that looking backwards, there are a couple inconsistencies between us and our, initial application and presentation of that have resulted in multiple rounds of engagement with this regulators. And initially, this team thought that they could use a simultaneous path where we are getting a source approval and a water system approval at the same time. And probably due to the additional scrutiny, I mean, that would be a assumption on my part. Sure. We have to now do the source approval and then the water system plan. And so all of the questions that have come out as a result of that original decision, we are in a very defensible position to the regulator. based and that decision based on the time is defensible. It's not egregious. It's not out there, but it could have been done differently. Sure. But here we are, and we are actually on the final eight things, which I know is hard to celebrate until we get there, or maybe it might even be hard to celebrate then, to be honest. But we're on our way. So, what else you got, Vern?
Well, I'm just curious about the process to place the well in that location. If it was lack of information.
It was an assumption, right?
I assume we proceeded in good faith to put the well where we thought. We just didn't know everything we needed to know.
Yeah, from a regulatory scope, yes. We didn't know everything we needed to know. But from a subject matter expertise space, in terms of like the water quality, the water availability,
sure,
you know, like yeah, those are the things that were.
Hydrology is really good in that area, and so on. So it was a good. I mean.
So
it was a feasible place to put the well because we knew that there's an aquifer there. We knew the quality of the water. And it was supposed to be a replacement well, but something went askew in there.
Well,
and that's what we're trying to correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was intended as a replacement, but treated by the state as new?
Sort of, yeah. So it was intended as a replacement, but the replacement has, as I understand it, a caveat that for community size, and that community size caveat was not included in the decision-making initially. And so the approval path with it, the regulator, is different based on community size and our subsequent requirements associated with that, and there were a few misses in those subsequent requirements based on that path forward on the replacement well.
Have we learned something from that to apply projects going forward?
No, a tremendous amount. I mean, I don't think we've had any idea that all of this was going to take.
But I would.
I think we have learned a lot.
I would question though who learned it. Richard learned it.
Yeah.
I learned it. You know, a few people in the community have learned it, but has the community learned it? So now you're talking about organizational continuity and community knowledge.
Going forward.
And that is such an important point that you bring up, and that is the thing I want to preach on my soapbox about for this community for the next, you know, however long you let me. And so to answer that, have we learned? Yes, but no. We need more of the continuity. And I think that as we transition from a community where we have literally full-time trustees doing work, and to leveraging professional services that haven't changed. I mean, we've had Vantage for a year and a half, we're coming up on 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been incredibly valuable in certain places, specifically around our DNR lease. We didn't know that we had a gap in our DNR lease until Vantage noticed it. The new business that we're going to talk
at the marina.
Thank you for that clarification.
Yes.
As we go into the conversations around the annual meeting and budget, that stuff is also evolving best practice and something for continuity's sake, right? We've had leadership changes that happen quickly for whatever reason, and that picking up the baton, if it's not handed over intentionally, is incredibly challenging. And so without that, so we're making progress in those areas, but we're going to have specialty areas like our roads, our stormwater and water, that are going to be more challenging to answer that question. So I ask the community, we don't have to have an answer tonight, how do we want to handle that? I think we've made an investment in moving into like some third-party support with our water system, and we need to evaluate, do we have the right level of oversight, and how do we continue to do that, and where do those decisions? So that is where our community is at in that space, I think, and I think we need to continue to have that conversation specifically as we move forward.
Are you going to keep bringing that up from now until?
How many times have you guys heard me say it?
Oh, man.
I know, but now you're going to be.
Oh, you mean with me not being here?
Oh, she's going to keep bringing it up. She's not leaving the board. She's just going to keep telling us.
We're going to have to figure it out, right? Because
it's just not her, it's the whole board.
But and one of the things that we've talked about, and I think it's in the newsletter, is there's going to be board elections coming up here in the next 3 months, and be really looking at people putting out there, what are we looking for? We're looking for managers. We're looking for people that know about roads, people that know about water systems, that have that kind of experience as they go onto the board, and we need people that have that kind of background. And if you know people that have that background, ask them to run for the board, because I think the bottom line over time, from what Kipney's saying too, is that as board members give up their positions and you've gathered all this information, this is our 5-year, 10-year plan. This is what we've done so far. This is what we need to do. And let's take it from there, people that are willing to do that. And I don't know if that continuity has really been there for a while, and it's something that we really need to do to keep this community going. That's my personal feeling.
I know this has been said before, but, you know, if you sit as trustees, you realize every trustee position is a full-time job. And almost, you know, we interviewed a fellow for the manager position a few years ago, and he looked around and whatever all everybody does, and he says, you know, I'll consult, but every one of those positions should be a paid position of somebody with experience. And so I think that's what community needs to see, too. We're trying to, you know, as volunteers, run a city, and it's sometimes we have glitches, like a water system plan and a well. But
we can do it better, and that's the goal, is to go where we are right now and just keep improving on what we're doing. So
I have to disagree a little bit. Okay. I agree that there's with Lisa specifically, because I disagree that this has to be full time work. I think I actually think the result of the fact that a very small few, you know, individual heroes have chosen to do volunteer work for full time for several years is results in kind of where we're at. So yes, on one side, we have these heroic efforts that are really important to every single person who lives here's life and their actual quality of life. But on the flip side, it makes it really impossible to continue to move forward in a way that is accessible to the rest of the community. And so we have to not, I don't want the message to the community to be that this job is a full-time job. It's not. Instead, we are investing in organizations, third parties with expertise. We've already done it, and we have a few more gaps to fill, and that has created an opportunity for this board to be incredibly accessible and available for those who are, still working or whatever else. So.
I think that's an important thing, is to hiring, the third party to help project manage some of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, we got a little bit down the tangent, but I appreciate it.
Where are we at?
New business, I think, right? Is that what that says?
Yeah.
Yep. And we have, Mike, we got an annual meeting stuff.
Yeah, so I made you guys little charts that look like this.
Little being the key word.
Yeah. So one's about the annual meeting timeline of events, and one's about the budget draft timeline of events. And so what I did was I kind of went through the key events and the key deadlines that we're going to have to meet to get the draft budget approved by the board, the copies made for the packet that goes out to the owners, and establishing when those packet deadlines would be set. And so on this annual meeting table, so starting in February is when we would really start to get the draft budget underway. And on the draft budget table, I've put in weekly, sort of a weekly summary of events all the way up until the March board meeting, because we would have to have the draft budget approved at the March board meeting in order for it to get into the packet copies in April so that the packets can be delivered in May. So did you want me to go over each of these individually?
No,
or do you guys
I think we already have a head start on February, right? In February, what we need to do for the annual meeting is confirm date, time, location. That's done. We're set up. We're good.
Yep.
And then we've got drafting the budget workshop events. Fantastic. In February, we'll continue that work. There's nothing not started here or at risk. This looks comprehensive as far as I know. And I know that this
these budget workshops are, we need to, next meeting, appoint a committee. And then those committee meetings will need to follow our committee policy, which is open and published, right, with meeting minutes. So we will work on that. And I think that's really where the work is for us right now, is to establish that.
Yep.
We also have what's not explicitly on here that I want to just make sure. We do have our strategic plan that we've been building, and some of the strategic stuff that's come up for long-term financial planning that I want to make sure is, like, explicitly documented here. I think that's what you mean under projects and reserve projects.
Yeah.
But I want it to say, reconcile our strategic financial plan or something, like, yeah. Very explicit. That's my feedback. Anyone else on the board?
Oh, well, one piece of feedback I have is, so something that's different on this table that we didn't do last year that I'm proposing we do this year is I'd like to have the packets made and ready to go, so May 1st people can pick them up at the clubhouse and sign them out.
Yeah. Okay.
And we would do that for 2 weeks, and then anybody who doesn't pick up the packet after that 2 weeks, those Vantage would help you guys just mail those out.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I think that would resolve the mailing issues we had last year where some streets got it, some streets didn't. And I think it would save you guys on postage to have people just sign them out here.
Okay.
Are we going to get that in a newsletter then?
Yeah, we can get that all put together. The other thing that's not necessarily on here that I'd also like you to keep an eye on with us is trustee applications and the trustee timeline. Is that
I had board applications due April 1st.
Okay, thank you. Yep. I didn't see it. Yep, it's there. But so I need a working backwards plan from that then to socialize. I think to the conversation we just had, people don't sign up because they don't know, you know, exactly what they're getting into, and that we can help, you know. So I'd like work backwards from that.
Because I can't hardly see it. Yeah. Is there something on there that says if somebody has a rule change or something? Because
The bylaws.
I can't read it. I'm sorry.
Yep, we have that accounted for in March.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else?
Okay. I'm blowing this sucker up.
Anything from... I know that you don't have these handouts, I don't think, but they're pretty... All right. Next. Any other?
Yep.
That's end with the new business.
Nope.
There was the
chloroform.
That's actually under spending approval. But yeah, yes.
I talked to Brian, and
yep.
He has another potential less expensive plan. So let's not vote on it right now.
Okay.
He doesn't know what that's going to be, but he's looking into another way of doing that, which potentially will be less expensive. So I will let you know, and then I'll have that ready to go.
Okay.
As soon as I know.
No problem.
But that just happened today.
Okay. Old business?
So the claim for the sea lion damage has been submitted to the insurance company. The claim was opened. The claims adjuster asked me for 4 things that we need to get to them in order for them to continue processing the claim. So they wanted the date of discovery. They wanted the geographical location of the marina. So I was going to send them plat maps and whatnot. They wanted.
It's also defined in our lease.
Okay.
Yep, it's defined.
And then
they
wanted all estimates of repair that we've gotten so far.
Okay,
and then
yep.
They wanted photos, detailed photos of all the damage.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. And where are we on that response? How far out where are the gaps?
I'm able to help with the location and the data discovery, but I just
and
need...
We have the so you need me to email
I
you
just
the
need
estimates?
The estimates and the photos.
And the photos,
badge.
And then...
We got a lot of photos, I believe.
Okay, so we do need to compile all of them. That'll be fun.
Sure.
Okay. Yes, sir?
We, being witnesses to a lot of this,
yeah.
Have a lot of digital photos and some video. Is there a server or something we can download these to?
Yeah, so we can set up a... it's like a Dropbox. We'll set up a Dropbox. It's called Box. But we'll set that up, and we'll get that out, and then you can drop any...
Get that link out to the whole community.
Whole community.
I know we've would walk and cross the bridge, and there were a lot of people pointing
cameras
in that direction.
Has anybody, so we'll take all the pictures of the sea lions we can crowdsource, but we also probably need explicit pictures of the damage, but those are also in the estimates that we have, because we've had the estimators walk out there.
Okay.
So, cool. We'll get that done this next
week. V-Doc's got
it. Yeah, we'll get it done this week.
V-Doc has damage, too.
So, yeah, we've extended our permit to include additional ADOC portion, and it has not yet been extended to B-Doc, but I think it can be because it was so easy to extend it to the additional portion of the ADOC. I can't promise.
I have one old business.
You didn't send it into the agenda.
You know.
All right, is anything else on sea lions?
No.
Okay, what's up?
So I was asked about where we're at with the Memorial Garden. The fence is now fixed. We are ready to move forward with getting the water lines in. I just have to catch up with Vern and Teresa tomorrow. And then we'll be putting bark down as soon as that goes in. And I had a question for Chuck.
Yes.
Where the board is on the fence, would it be beneficial to you guys if we put block there so you didn't have to do something on the other side to hold the bark in at the bottom of that fence?
Well, you know, I looked at that, and I think we should make panels in there, and we were able to take those out and put them back in fairly easy, and not have just a complete fence like that. And then out in front of that,
I would like to put
some bigger rock like we have there and place them along there. And I want to put some rock down. That's why that board's there, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a border that I got, and then I'll get some rock and lay that down in there and kind of make a nice little sidewalk.
Okay. Well, I've been questioned, so I wanted to...
Yeah.
Thank you. We also had another piece come up, thank you, from Mike. Oh, it's okay. No problem. Mike, I know we didn't talk about this before you get here. Sorry. We need to vote on this now that it... No, we've already voted on it. We just signed the updated rules and regulations, right?
Yeah, that's correct. You guys already voted on them, yeah.
So, as you know, I promised to have the updated rules and regulations available on January 1st. We had the change record available, but we were in... formatting, you know, because we didn't have a word, so, you know, whatever. We have now sunk several hours into it. I've verified it. Kim did a great job in the office of retyping and creating a source document now for future adjustments that I hope will move forward as well. And so we will get those signed and posted. They are back post. They'll be back day because of the... because of the approval date, but I don't see any problems here. So that is the last thing I have on our agenda.
I make a motion that we go into executive session at 7:14.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Take a cookie.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Okay, when you're ready in the morning, send me a text and I'll walk over.
Session.
Okay.
I make a motion at 8:10 that we adjourn.
I second.
Okay. All in favor?
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Let's get that turned off.
It was a good thing.